Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne lives in Atlanta, and her preaching is entitled, In the Space Where Mountain and Cloud Meet.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. And then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my chosen son, listen to him. After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. Have you ever noticed that mountains and clouds seem to go together? In photographs and paintings, even cartoonist rudimentary renderings, you will often see mountaintops shrouded in hovering clouds. When I was a child, I thought this was because mountains were so high that they pierced through the sky. But no, it's a little more complicated than that. Mountains actually create their own clouds. When moving air comes across a mountain front, it forces the warm air to rise into cooler zones, and the water droplets from the air condense atop the mountain. The phenomenon is so common in mountain life that these clouds have their own name, lenticular. I suppose because the clouds sort of look like giant oval lentil beans just resting over the peak. Lenticular clouds are known for often being bright, even colorful around the edges, rays of light eking out from behind them. They have a divine quality to them. No wonder then in ancient cultures around the world, persons sought to ascend mountains as part of their spiritual journey. It was a way to get closer to the heavens, to those clouds. And in places where mountains were not a natural part of the landscape, people created their own mountains. We can think of the pyramids of Egypt or Teotihuacan in Mexico or even Cahokia Mounds in the Midwest United States. Humans of every time and place long for an encounter with the divine. The Bible gives evidence of this quest in its very first pages, in which the people of Babylon try to build a tower that reaches into the sky that they might knock on God's door. Later, we'll meet the prophet Elijah, who, in fear of his life, climbs Mount Sinai seeking a face-to-face with the God who called him. And we'll meet Moses, who also ascends Mount Sinai, now with three of his closest friends, and meets God in the form of a radiant cloud that hovers in place over the top of the mountain for 6 days. And when Moses returns to the mountain, a few chapters later, he builds a tent there and prays to see the Lord's glory. Another way of saying God's fullness, God's light. And when Moses then enters the tent, the cloud again descends. Is this starting to sound strangely familiar? If you were listening closely to today's gospel, it should. Because in today's gospel, Jesus and three of his closest friends ascend a mountain. Should it surprise us that they meet Elijah and Moses there? Should it surprise us that God covers that mountain in cloud? And should it surprise us that Jesus' friends are shaken to the core there by an experience of the glory, the splendor, the fullness of God? The experience of God's glory that they encounter on this mountaintop, however, takes unique form. They experience God's glory in the person of their friend, Jesus. In this mysterious story of the Transfiguration, Jesus stands at the apex of the mountain in the place of every human who has ever sought an encounter with the divine, while at the same time he stands in the place of God the cloud, the God who draws near, descending to seek a relationship with humankind. And he is radiant with light. In the second century, the church father Irenaeus wrote, "Gloria enim Dei vivens homo." The glory of God is a living man. Sometimes translated, the glory of God is a human being fully alive in God. It's a perfect description of the Jesus that we meet in the Transfiguration. Could it also become a description of us? This Lent, as every Lent, we are called to renew our spiritual quest, to stir anew our longing for God. We recommit to ascending the mountain, no matter how strenuous a journey, because we desire to meet God. But we do so knowing that our longing to encounter God is always met by a God longing to encounter us. Clouds can't stay away from mountaintops. The two are meant for one another. Can you imagine God's glory shining in you? Can you imagine yourself a human being fully alive in God? Although Irenaeus' words are a perfect description of Jesus in the Transfiguration, they're actually meant to illumine our own calling, that the glory of God is also meant to be manifest in each of us. As we enter more deeply into the Lenten season, now in this second week, take this time as an invitation to ponder, Gloria enim Dei vivens homo. How might you live ever more fully, ever more radiantly, in the space where the mountain and the cloud meet?